Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
This might mean nothing to anyone, but I'm gonna go out and say it. When we do our sermon prep stuff, typically we map out 12 months of sermons at a time. Okay? So like next month we're going to sit down, we're going to map out the next 12 months of sermon series and individual sermon topics, and then usually I'm writing the outline of my messages 2 to 3 months in advance of when they get preached, okay? And I tell you that because sometimes we have these messages or these sermons that come up, and it's like, oh, he's just preaching that because I'm in the room, or he saw that I was here, and so he pulled that out, or he was talking to my mother-in-law, and then he pulled this out this week, that kind of thing. And maybe that's not the situation this morning with this message, but I kind of just get the inclination that maybe there are some of you in this room today that are going to hear what I have to say, and you're going to want to dismiss it as, well, he's just making stuff up because he saw me, or he's just, it's because of conversation he had this week that he's digging into this. And that is not the case. This sermon was put together 2 or 3 months ago. And before that, about probably 10 months ago, it was just put down on a spreadsheet of, this is where this sermon is going to happen. Okay? Everybody understand that? Okay. So, that aside, let's dig into today's message, which is, again, on the book of Ruth. Now, the book of Ruth is a very short book in the Old Testament of the Bible. And so it was written long before the time of Jesus, which after the time of Jesus, we have a few more pieces of writing that we call the New Testament, and this is from the Old Testament. It's very short, and it's very early. And so we've been taking this month to look at different lessons that we can pull from this story of Ruth, who was a foreigner and came to the country of Israel and became part of the family there, okay? How many of you, to get into that today, how many of you are aware of what imposter syndrome is? Anybody? There's a few of you. The few of you are just not sure that you can identify as that. That's a joke. Because imposter syndrome is when you feel like you're in a position but don't belong there. When you feel like an imposter, when you go to work and you feel like, I am not qualified to be here. When you go to have a meeting with someone and you're sitting there having this really intense conversation, guiding them through major life-changing things, and you're sitting there thinking, I have no idea what I'm doing. I shouldn't be here. They came to see a professional, but instead they got me. Now, that happens with work. Sometimes that happens in your family. Sometimes you're thinking that when, as a parent, you're thinking, I'm not smart enough to do this. I'm not skilled enough to do this. I'm not experienced enough to do this. I am not qualified to be that professional. I am not qualified to be a board member. I am not strong enough and wise enough to be a leader or whatever it is. And so whatever situation you're in, you find yourself there and you feel like you do not belong. You feel like an imposter. They came to see somebody, you're supposed to be doing something, and you're in the position, but you're not really supposed to be there. And that kind of feeling that we sometimes get is very, very easily kind of bleeds into different parts of our lives. And it very easily bleeds into even being here today. You may be here and kind of feel like you do not belong. You may be thinking, you know what, I'm here, I'm in a church, and I was pretty sure that when I walked through the doors, I was going to burst into flames. I'm really surprised that lightning hasn't struck yet. And you're thinking, I'm not good enough to be here. I'm not smart enough to be here. If people knew how messed up my life really is, they wouldn't want to even be around me. You're thinking, the stuff in my past is just too bad. It's too hard. It's too messy. There's no, like, I can never actually feel safe here. Like, I'm here. I'm trying to figure it out, but I've just got way too much baggage. Like, I can't really be me because people, once they find out about me, then they're going to change how they deal with me. And you may be thinking, you know what, I'm here and I'm in church and I'm such a fake. I'm such an imposter. Like, I still have doubts. I still get mad. I still yell at my kids. I still have screwed up my finances. My marriage is a mess. I'm losing my temper. I continue to make bad decisions. I'm struggling with my addictions. I know the stuff that I shouldn't be doing, but I keep doing it. I continue to sabotage my relationships. My family isn't following God, and I'm the only one doing this, and my finances are a mess, and everything is a mess, and I'm here, but I shouldn't be here because I'm not good enough to be here. I do not belong. When we look at the story of Ruth, The deeper we go, the more we dig, the more it speaks to that feeling. We know from the story of Ruth that she was not an Israelite. She was not a Jew. She lived and was a citizen of the country of Moab, which was an enemy state against Israel. And she was a foreigner, and she had married into the family, but she was still a foreigner, and she decided to stick with her mother-in-law after her husband died and move to Israel. And last week we talked about it and how God has a special place in his heart for outsiders. And so Ruth moves to Israel as an outsider. But as we dig a little bit further and we get to the New Testament, we get to the story of Jesus, we actually come to the book of Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament. And in the very first book, the very first section of the first book of the New Testament, we get something really exciting called a genealogy. How many of you enjoy genealogies? Weirdos. I mean, if that's what you're in, cool. Don't, whatever. You don't belong here. Yeah, I'm joking. Goodness gracious. In Matthew chapter 1, there's this genealogy, and the genealogy is the line, the ancestral line that leads to Jesus. And in that genealogy, we come to verse 5, that says that Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. And then it continues on, and you see that Ruth is actually in the family line that led to Jesus. And more immediately, she was in the direct line of King David. But not only was Ruth somehow, for some reason, an outsider, a Moabite, who married into the family then in the line of David and in the line of Jesus. But we get another name in here, and that is Rahab. Well, Rahab we learn about in the book of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, the Israelites, they had been freed from slavery in Egypt. God had brought them to their promised land, and they had screwed that up, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And finally, they got their act together. They were following God, and they were about to take the promised land. And the first thing they needed to do was they needed to conquer the city of Jericho. And so Joshua sends in a couple guys into the city to kind of get lay of the land. And when they're in there, they meet a woman named Rahab. And Rahab is a prostitute. And it doesn't say why they went to see her, but they went to see her. And then the rest of the city found out. And so the king actually said, hey, send some people down to Rahab's house, find out those two guys, because they're here to spy on us. We want to kill them. And Rahab, instead of siding with her city, sides with these two Israelite men, because she has heard the story about God and knows what God does and who He is, and that God is with the people of Israel. And so she hides them. And she says, when she lets the guys go, she says, when you guys come to Jericho to defeat it, protect me and my family. And they say, okay. And so the Israelites go and they conquer Jericho, and Rahab survives. And not only does she survive, but somehow she is in the direct family line that brings about King David and brings about Jesus. There's another passage in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians. And Galatians is a short book, a letter written from the Apostle Paul to a church in Galatia. And in this, he says, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Those who have faith are children of Abraham. And so the Apostle Paul puts it in that term. And when we look at the story of Ruth, and we look at the genealogy of Jesus, and when we look at the story of Rahab, we see that come about, that those who have faith in God are children of Abraham. And what Paul is trying to say is that it is not their blood, it is not their heritage, it is not what they have done, it is their faith in God that makes them a child of God. And Paul and Ruth and Joshua all point out this simple truth, that insiders are those who put their faith in God. Yes, outsiders have a special place in God's heart, but insiders are those who put their faith in God. And here's the great part. That's it. That is all that's required. Let me paint you a different picture. How many of you have ever gone to Costco? How many of you have an addiction to Costco? To the hot dogs? Okay. When you go to Costco, what do you need in order to shop there? Your membership, right? And money, sure. How many of you have ever gone to Costco? You've got your membership card. How many of you have ever gone with your membership card to Costco and they looked at you and said, nah, too tall? Anybody? How about too short? Too fat? Too skinny? Wrong color skin? Weird accent? Newfoundland accent? Nobody? What about they said, no, you can't shop here because you have a criminal record. You crashed your car. You said nasty words to your aunt. You're planning nasty things for your mother-in-law. Anybody? What do they care about? The membership card. That's it. And really, if you threw enough money at them, they wouldn't even care about that. But can you imagine them stopping people and saying, you know what, you don't fit the bill here. You don't belong. No. All they care about is that membership card. And yet, when we look at this relationship with God, when we look at this journey of faith thing, when we look at being here, we look at it and we go, no, you know what? I'm going to go through the door and someone's going to say, you know what? You're too overweight, or you've got too many problems. You've got those sins that nobody else has. You have those mental health struggles that nobody else has, and so they're not going to want you there, and you can't belong there. You're going to go in there, but they're not going to want you there if they knew anything about you. We come here and we're like, I know they need people to paint things, or they need people to serve in kids ministry, or to be on the worship team, or to help with the different events or programs that we do. But I want to do that, but I'm just too messed up, and I'm not good enough for that. Folks, the membership card is putting your faith in God. That's it. Yes, there is the reality that as you move in leadership, there is greater responsibility. Absolutely. But for you to be here, for you to belong here, for this to be your place, for you to be considered an insider in the family of God, the only thing that matters is, have you put your faith in Him? You may be here. You may be here with whatever doubts, whatever kind of imposter syndrome you're carrying, thinking, this isn't for me. I'm too messed up. I've got too much in my past. Whatever. The story of Ruth, the story of Rahab, the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, throughout the Bible, throughout the entire story, this entire thing makes one thing abundantly clear. Insiders are those who put their faith in God. That's it. Your past, your struggles, your story, your doubts, your imperfections, your brokenness does not affect it. This is your place of support. This is your place to serve. This is your place for help. This is your place to help. This is your place to figure things out. This is your place to get better. This is your place to make a difference. This is your place to raise your family. This is your place to work on your marriage. This is your place to become a leader. If you are putting your faith in Jesus, this is your place. If you're trying to figure it out, I still want you here. If you're not sure where you land on that thing, I still want you here because you're finding your way and this is part of the journey. But I don't care if you still have doubts, if you still have struggles and you're still messed up and you still have that past behind you. The only thing that matters to make you an insider is that you put your faith in God. So I need you all to know this, because I feel like some of you are really wrestling with that idea in your lives, and that the enemy is really trying to tear you apart and make you doubt it. This place is for you. This group is for you. This message is for you. I want you to remember this when the doubts come and when the failures hit you and when everybody else and the enemy starts telling you lies and casting doubts and questions around you, and you start to feel horrible and you feel down and depressed and lost and you start to spiral and you think, there's no way that God could love me. There's no way that those people would want me around. There's no way that I would be allowed back there. I want you to remember that the only thing that matters is that insiders are those who put their faith in God. I want you to hold on to the hope for your future. And for some of you, I just need you to know that you do not need to come here and get everything figured out to put your faith in Jesus. The door is already open. The opportunity is already here. It is not a matter of come, get your life figured out, and then put your faith in God. It is put your faith in God, and He will walk with you to figure out your life. The worship team's coming back up, and they're going to do probably three more songs here. And over these three songs, you may react differently. You may just want to pour your heart out and say, you know what, God, I really want to believe this. Help me believe it. Some of you may be thinking, I accept this and I want to thank you for that. Others of you may be wrestling with doubts and further questions and saying, maybe I don't believe this. Or maybe I do believe this, but I don't know if it really applies to me. I want you to hold on to what you hear God say to you during these songs. Because we believe that God is alive, He is living, He is real, He is here, and He is speaking to you. And if I could make this more clear, I would. But quite simply, it's that simple. You belong here. This place is for you. And the only thing that matters is that you put your faith in God.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.